Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Today's episode of Read Me Romance is brought to you by my obsession with Richard Madden in The Bodyguard. You like older women, Richard? Call me. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Read Me Romance. It's your girl, Tessa Bailey. Okay, so you guys heard my fake ad at the beginning of this episode. And you know Richard Madden. He was in Game of Thrones. So my advertisement was, I almost said, he can claim my throne anytime. And then, and I didn't like really think too hard about it. And then I was like, wait, that means like he could put it in my butt. Right? Which he could. He could. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'd let him put it in my butt. Wow, we're off to an interesting start here, 1 minute into the program. How's everybody doing out there? Yeah, I have to talk to you guys about Richard Madden. Okay, so this episode, this TV show, it's from like BBC, but you can get it on Netflix. It's about like a bodyguard who has PTSD and he's like separated from his wife, but he's got two kids and he's placed on the security. He becomes the bodyguard for this like defense secretary in London. And she's like really controversial. People don't like her. She's like making a play to be prime minister. So she's like a target. And so he becomes her bodyguard. And I looked this up on IMDb. She's in real life, she's like 15 years older than Richard Madden, but they develop a relationship. And when I was younger, the whole older woman, younger man scenario didn't do anything for me, but Jesus, it does things for me now. I enjoyed the crap out of this. So that's my recommendation for a TV show if you're looking for something to watch. It's only like 6 episodes. I don't know how they do things over in the UK, but like their TV shows are just so different than ours. They're short and like they end for good after like 2 seasons. Well, we just like beat a dead horse. But anyways, it's super good. I would definitely check it out if I was you. There's some good sex. You can see like his fully naked butt. And he's just like one of these characters, like it's just crack for women, whether we like it or not, because we just want to fix him so badly. He's broken. He's got all this baggage. He's sad. He's like, oh, it's just so enjoyable. So definitely check out The Bodyguard. The other thing I would recommend with Richard Madden in it, because he's like my obsession right now, and I don't even, like, I'm sorry for all you throne heads out there, but Game of Thrones is not my thing. I can't watch Game of Thrones. I can't watch main characters die every week. It's like, it just makes me too sad. It just makes me too anxious. It's like a brilliantly written and acted show, and I mean, it's fascinating, but oh my God, it's just too much for me. My heart can't handle it. Richard Madden is also in this movie called Ibiza, Ibiza. He plays like a world famous DJ. And oh my God, he falls in love with Jillian Jacobs, who's an actress. You know her from Community. And it is so romantic. They have this like immediate connection. He's in the DJ booth, she's in the crowd, and she just falls in love with him, and he falls in love with her, and they have this amazing night together. You guys have to watch it. It's so funny too, because she's like, she's got these two girlfriends that come with her to Ibiza, and like they just want to party and get drunk and like do drugs, which they do. And like all these hijinks ensue and all these things happen to them. But through it all, there's this love story. And it's one of my favorite movies from last year. So if you have time, give it a watch. I really loved it. It made me swoon. And he has a Scottish accent. He's a Scottish actor, Richard Madden. He's got a Scottish accent in The Bodyguard and in Ibiza. And I feel like when actors talk in their own accents and don't try to do an American accent, it makes them so much more appealing because you know, like, it really requires an effort. And I don't feel like they're really being themselves when they have to speak in a different accent. Well, not that, I mean, they're being themselves anyway. They're acting. But, like, they're, like, able to maybe put more focus into what they're doing because they don't have to worry about faking an accent or something. But, oh, I mean, speaking of Scottish accents, though, another show I can't watch is Outlander. It makes me too sad and anxious. I don't know what it is. I'm like, when I watch Outlander, I love it. I love everything that's happening. And then I'm like, it's that Twilight feeling of I'm never going to find a love like this. I can't live my own life. It's too sad. And that's how I feel when I watch Outlander, like super yearny and like, I don't know, desolate. Even though it's amazing, like, it's one of the greatest shows, and like, I love the actors. I love, now I can't think of his name right now, who plays Jamie, and the girl who plays Claire, and it's beautiful, like the scenery, and I actually read the first two books in the series and I loved them. But can I watch the show? No, because I can't make it through to the next week, like when they're together again. Anyways, I hope you guys all found that super interesting. I am here to play the second installment of An Instant Connection by Melanie Moreland. I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. And, oh, this guy kind of actually, the way she described this hero kind of reminds me of Jamie Fraser with the red hair, like, around it and, like, the kind of wild red hair. That's cool. I related it back without even knowing it. Okay, so here we go. Here's the second installment, and I'll catch up with you guys on the other side. Bye.
Chapter 2. Mandy. He was confident, direct, and blunt, high-handed and bossy. He was also the most courteous date I'd ever had. He made certain I liked everything the waiter brought us, ensured my water and wine glasses were always topped up, listened carefully when I spoke, and he asked so many questions, it was obvious he was listening to every word I said. We talked about a variety of subjects, but never touched on anything too personal. He was well-read and intelligent, and we discovered a mutual like of museums and weekend flea markets. We also had the common bond of loving historical architecture. He told me he was a consultant and had started a new long-term project that week. I worried the inside of my cheek when he told me that information. He smiled knowingly. I'm here for at least a year, Mandy. Maybe more. I'm not a hit-and-run kind of guy. All right, I replied, slightly mollified. A year suddenly felt like a short span of time. What do you do? I'm a PA in a busy architectural firm for now. His eyebrows rose slightly. Architectural firm? Yes, Parson Planners. He took a sip of his drink and frowned. I see. I'm looking for another job, though.
Why?
He asked, narrowing his eyes.
You don't like your current job? Are the people you work for unkind?
My direct boss isn't exactly my number one fan. We don't get along. She can be, difficult.
Have you ever told her off?
I laughed because I'd done so in my head many times. No, I need my paycheck. I do give in and sneak a piece of toffee when she berates me, which is daily. He looked confused. We aren't allowed to keep snacks at our desk. I hide the toffee under my post-it notes. I get sick enjoyment eating it, knowing it would piss her off. He threw back his head in laughter.
I think you need a new job.
I've been looking, and I hope to find something soon. I sighed. I might go back to school. Being a PA wasn't what I planned.
I see. What was the plan?
I wanted to be a teacher, but my mom got sick and I left school to help her. When she passed, I was lost for a while. I couldn't find my path or make any decisions. This job came up 5 months ago and I took it. He covered my hand, squeezing it gently.
I'm sorry for your loss, Mandy.
I blinked away the sudden moisture in my eyes and cleared my throat. She was a dancer.
I always love to watch her performances. It explains the great legs. I chuckled. I got her legs, but not her coordination. She moved like the air. She used to tease me that I was born with two left feet. He met my eyes, his gaze intense. I like how you move. I had no idea how to reply to his statement. I looked down at the table. I still miss her. I'm sure you do. He was quiet, and I could feel it as he studied me. But you're ready to move on from your job? I met his gaze. I think so. I'm never going anywhere there, and I think I'm ready to move forward. A smile played on his lips. I arrived just in time then. I tried to hide my own smile. I failed. He stood and excused himself. I watched him walk away, unable to help noticing that his ass was spectacular. High, round, and firm. I wanted to grab it and see what it felt like under my hands. I was certain it would be perfection. When he returned, he smiled widely as he slid back into the booth. That's taken care of. I frowned. Problem? He shook his head and smirked. Not anymore. I don't understand. He grinned. Nothing to worry about. Something regarding work I had to take care of. Now I can concentrate on the task at hand. Eating dinner? He cocked one eyebrow at me. Getting to know you and making sure you want to see me again. I had to laugh as I picked up my glass. His friend was correct. He had great taste in wine. It was smooth and full-bodied, sort of like Mitch. He never stopped. His questions were endless, his humor contagious. He was droll and amusing, disparaging about himself without being too serious. He told me funny stories of his friend Joseph, who he had known his whole life, his sister Chris and his mom and dad. He kept me in stitches with his wicked imitations of when they would get into trouble and his mother would start to yell. At one point, I left the table to go to the ladies' room. As I washed my hands, I studied myself in the mirror, unsure what it was that he found so attractive. Brown hair, green eyes, and a figure much too curvy to be called slim was all I saw. However, he seemed to disagree. Every time I glanced up, he was staring at me, his frank appraisal making me warm. His eyes followed my movements, watching my fork transfer food to my mouth. He studied my hands when I used them to emphasize a point. More than once, he reached out to touch my hand or arm, even leaning over the table to push a stray curl behind my ear. Not one prone to physical contact, I was shocked to discover I liked his affectionate gestures. When I arrived back at our table, he stood in one of his old-fashioned gestures, waiting until I slid into the booth. I shivered a little at the contrast in temperatures. The restaurant seemed chilly compared to the restroom. He frowned, and before I could object, slipped his suit jacket off and leaned over me to drape it around my shoulders. He slid in next to me, sitting so close, our thighs pushed together. Casually, he leaned his arm on the back of the booth, his warmth soaking into my side. His jacket was smooth and his scent surrounded and enveloped me. I liked it. The waiter brought our dessert and coffee, not at all surprised to find us on the same side of the booth. Mitch slid his fork into the dense cheesecake, lifting it to his mouth, his sexy full mouth that had teased me all night. His eyes shut as he chewed and swallowed. He cut off another slice, holding out his fork. You have to try this. It is amazing. He had done that the whole night, spearing small bites off his plate, offering them to me, watching my mouth intently as I tasted and swallowed. He licked his lips often, and more than once shifted in his seat. It was oddly sensual for him to feed me. I opened my mouth to accept the bite, then shut my eyes and let the creamy, sweet taste coat my tongue. The tart blackberries heightened the flavor, and a small groan escaped my lips. Opening my eyes, I met his staggered gaze. His fork was frozen, hovering over his plate. "Mitch?" I asked. "What is it?" His fork fell to his plate with a clatter. He turned fully, facing me.
"What is it?" he repeated. "You really have to ask that."
I shook my head, confused. "Yes?" He pressed nearer, and without a thought, I turned into him. We were so close, I could feel his hot breath on my face, feel the warmth of his body pressed to mine.
"It's you," he growled softly. "Your enticing mouth and erotic sounds. The way you look at me, your captivating eyes." He stroked his knuckles down my face. "Your expressions and your laughter."
His voice dropped further.
"I want to kiss you right now. Please tell me I can."
My breath faltered. I didn't know this man. I had met him a few short hours ago, but somewhere between his directness, his teasing, our nonstop conversation, and his sexy, over-the-top commentary, that had ceased to matter. I wanted him. And I wanted him to kiss me. Senseless. He smirked, wide, knowing, and confident.
"Not a problem, sweetheart."
Then his mouth was on mine. I didn't think we could get closer. I was wrong. He yanked me to him as if I was a lifesaver and he was a drowning man. His lips slanted over mine, demanding yet tender. Our mouths moved, sliding and molding to each other. His tongue slid along my bottom lip, and with a sigh, I opened for him. Desire, hot and intense, exploded. His taste overwhelmed me. He fisted my hair, tilting my head, going deeper. He consumed me. His tongue stroked and teased, tasted and explored. He tugged me with both hands, almost pulling me onto his lap, his hand on my hip, curving to form to my body. He surrounded me, and everything outside the booth ceased to exist. There was nothing. Nobody but him and me. His chest rumbled in pleasure as I weaved my fingers into the short hairs at the nape of his neck, playing with the strands and caressing his skin. With a low moan, he pulled away, dragging his lips along my cheek to my ear.
"You are even more than I hoped," he murmured.
He teased the skin of my neck, making me shudder in delight.
"Your skin is so soft," he breathed into my ear. "I want to know how it feels against mine. All of it."
"Mitch," I whispered, "we just met."
"I know," he acknowledged, his mouth ghosting over my cheek, kissing me again. "Tell me you feel this connection."
"Yes."
"Come to my hotel."
My breathing hitched. We.
He shook his head. "I expect nothing, I promise. I just want you alone. I want to kiss you properly."
I lifted one eyebrow in disbelief and ran my fingers over my lips, still feeling his mouth. "That wasn't properly?"
He captured my hand in his and kissed the knuckles. "More than. I want to kiss you more."
I hesitated. He smiled and once again stroked my cheek.
"It's fine, Mandy. I understand. I wouldn't normally move so fast, but I have to admit I have never wanted a woman as much as I want you."
He removed his arm and slid back, picking up his fork.
"I can be patient. You'll be worth the wait." He smiled. "We'll be worth the wait."
His words disarmed me. I was shocked how much I immediately missed his warmth.
A flicker of disappointment went through me at his easy acceptance of my hesitation. Even though I knew that was silly, I should have been grateful he didn't push the issue. Right? We finished sharing dessert, and when the bill came, I picked up my purse.
"Don't even think about it," he informed me with a glare. "I asked you to dinner. When we're on a date or wherever, I will take care of the bill."
"Is this a date?" I asked.
"Yes, our first of many."
He stood, extending his hand.
"Will you walk with me for a bit before I put you in a cab to go home?"
"I can take the bus." He rolled his eyes, tugging me from the booth.
"You obviously haven't been treated very well by your old boyfriends. The likelihood of me allowing you to take a bus home after a date is about the same as me being able to resist kissing you again tonight."
"So, not good then?" He grinned and dropped a hard, fast kiss to my mouth.
"Impossible."
We left the restaurant hand in hand. There was no false pretense about him as he tucked me close to his side. The streets had thinned out, but as usual, there were still lots of people milling around.
"Where to?"
He smiled. "At the risk of you walking away, the bar in my hotel is on the top floor. Great view at night, and it's only a couple of blocks away. We could have a drink, and I promise to escort you downstairs after and send you home in a taxi."
The evening had gotten cooler, the bite of winter approaching in the air. Sitting in a bar talking to Mitch sounded a lot better than walking in the night breeze.
"Okay."
He steered us across the street toward his hotel. He asked about restaurants around the area, other amenities, and where I lived.
"Have you found a place yet?" I asked, after answering his questions.
"Do you rent or lease?"
"Since I'm self-employed and often my work contract is brief, I usually stay in hotels. But here I wanted a short-term lease. I looked at a few today and found one I liked."
"Where is your office?" He waved the air.
"Downtown."
I chuckled. "Maybe our companies are rivals." He laughed.
"Maybe. We won't discuss work. Make that part easier."
He pulled me closer and pressed a kiss to my head.
"I'd much rather talk about you, Mandy. I find you fascinating."
I laughed lightly. "Then you need to get out more." He chuckled and stopped at the entrance to a swanky hotel. He turned to face me.
"Still okay for that drink?"
I stared up at him. His eyes were incredible. Icy blue, intense and piercing. The color belied the warmth they held as he regarded me, though. There was nothing glacial about his gaze. It was pure heat. I felt his desire he held in check. The way his body responded to me. The way I was responding to him. "I haven't been with anyone in a long time, Mitch, since before my mother died." His grip tightened.
"I told you already that I'm not a player, Mandy. This isn't the norm for me. But then again, I don't think you're the norm."
"I'm not?"
"No."
He shook his head, pulling me closer.
"I think you're going to be the exception."
His eyes dropped to my mouth.
"God knows I want to be that for you."
The breath left my lungs in a long shudder.
"Maybe we could have that drink in your room?"
A slow smile spread across his face. "Yeah, sweetheart, we could do that."
We barely made it into his room when he was on me. His mouth was hungry, his kisses deep, passionate, and consuming. His tongue was wicked and relentless, exploring me, curling and sliding with mine, feasting on my taste. His hands never ceased their exploration. He touched me everywhere, outlining my curves, feathering over my skin, gripping my ass. He pulled me to him tight,
our chests melded, our bodies aligned. I could feel him everywhere, his desire, his need, his want. For me, it was overwhelming. My own desire burned hot, hotter than it ever had for any man. His muscles bunched under my touch. His copper hair was soft as the ends curled around my fingers. His cock trapped between us was large and stiff. He trembled as I ran my hand over the bulge. "I promised you a drink," he rasped, dragging his lips across my cheek. "I'm not thirsty." "I fucking am," he responded. "For you, your taste. Give me back your mouth, Mandy." The room spun. All of my senses tunneled down to him. Us. His body. Heat built within me. A slow, intense burn that melted me from the inside out. I was achy, filled with need. It felt as if my nerves were on the outside of my body, and Mitch knew where each trigger lay. He stroked them, fanning the flames until I was ready to burst. With a low growl, I pushed his jacket from his shoulders and fumbled with the buttons of his shirt. I yanked on his sleeves, smiling at the sound of the material rendering. I tugged at his belt, suddenly desperate to feel him. "Easy, tiger." He nipped at my lips, a dark chuckle sounding in the room. "You've got me, baby. Leave me some clothes intact." "I want you naked." "Jesus, you're wild, sweetheart." His hand covered mine as he helped guide my fingers. I opened his belt and slid his pants down his legs within seconds. Then I dropped to my knees.
"Mitch." I stared down in shock. A few hours ago, I had planned on a few drinks in the bar, maybe room service, and a quiet night alone. Never had I imagined meeting Mandy, or having her on her knees in front of me. Her hand slid up the back of my thighs, tugging down my boxers. My aching cock sprang free, slapping against my stomach. Mandy gazed up at me, her eyes huge in the dim light. "Sweetheart, you don't—" I groaned as she wrapped her hand around me, shaking her head. "I want to." Then her mouth was on me. My head fell back against the wall with a dull thud, warm, wet, and teasing. Whistling was only one of her wicked mouth's talents. Her tongue ran along my shaft, swirling around the heavy head, making me hiss in pleasure. I wove my hand into her hair and cupped the back of her head, my fingers moving restlessly on her scalp. She gripped my ass, pressing on my skin to draw me deeper into her mouth. "Fuck," I groaned. "Mandy, sweetheart, you can't. I can't." Pleasure racked my body. My legs began to shake. When she sucked my balls into her mouth, rolling them around, teasing them with her tongue, before cupping them and sliding my cock back into her warmth, I shouted her name. I pushed on her shoulders, forcing her back. I bent low and lifted her under her arms and tossed her onto the bed. She smiled at me mischievously. "You didn't like that?" "I fucking loved your mouth on me. But I want to be inside you." She ran a finger over her lips. "Next time, then?" I groaned at her actions. She was sexy. "You have way too many clothes on." She stretched her arms out. "You want to do something about that?" In seconds, I had her clothes peeled off, leaving her in wisps of racy red lace. "Jesus, Mandy, you're stunning." She smiled and drew up her legs, tugging the lace down her shapely calves. I fit my hands around her knees, caressing the silky smooth skin. With a flick of her wrist, her breasts were bare, the nipples hard. Teasingly, I ran my fingers over them, watching her shiver in anticipation. Are you sure, sweetheart? Yes. I tugged on her knees and gently pushed open her legs. Then show me. Her pussy was wet, glistening, and beckoning me. I didn't refuse the invitation. I eased between her thighs, hovering over her naked, inviting body. Lowering my face to hers, I kissed her deeply. Our chests touched, her soft, warm breasts pressing into the hard angles of my body. I explored her inch by inch, taking my time, ignoring the fiery need to claim her, to bury myself inside her and possess her wholly. It was like nothing I had ever experienced. Not simply a physical need, but an emotional one as well. I wanted every single part of her. Her neck was so delicate under my tongue. Her nipples, small points of pleasure that made her gasp when I drew them into my mouth. Every inch of her was delectable, and I wanted to feast on her for hours. Sliding my fingers through her wetness, she cried out my name, coming fast when I sucked at her swollen clit, flicking it with my tongue. I rose in my heels to stare down at her. Her dark hair spilled across her pillow like a wave. Her cheeks were flushed, her chest heaving as she reached for me. Condom, I groaned. I need a condom. Where? She gasped. Drawer, beside you. Blindly, she reached into the drawer, finding one and handing it to me with a grin. I ignored the flash of jealousy that this scenario had occurred before, that she had handed another man a condom with that smile on her face. The past was the past. From now on, it would only be me inside her. I was determined to be that way. I rolled on the latex, bracing myself above her. Remember what I said earlier, sweetheart. One night is going to change everything. I nudged at her entrance, trying not to moan at the heat that teased me. Once I'm inside you, it's done. You're mine. You understand that? She wrapped her legs around my waist. And you're mine. I slid inside, the intense pleasure making me growl. Our gazes locked, a silent understanding passing between us. We both felt it. Neither of us was going to fight it. Yes, I'm yours.
Hey, lady listeners, we're back. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I don't know where the breaks are in this story, but you gotta love a persistent hero. This guy is super persistent. He goes after what he wants. And I know a lot of us love that. So we're all enjoying this. Melanie Moreland, if you want more from her, and I know you guys do, It Started With a Kiss is 99 cents right now. This week only, March 10th to March 16th. So make sure you grab that up. It's also on Kindle Unlimited. You can pre-order this book you're listening to right now in Instant Connection. There will be an extended ebook version. So make sure you click and pre-order it so you don't forget. In 3 months when it comes out, you don't forget to get it. And there's a new release coming up for Miss Moreland next week. Van Vested Interest, that series number 5 is coming out. So you can pre-order that now. All those links are in the show notes. And if you're following us on Instagram or Facebook at Read Me Romance, you know we're posting about it all week, so you won't miss it. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe this podcast, guys. It really helps us out. It takes 2 seconds just to click whatever star rating you feel is appropriate and say a few nice words. We would really love it. And that's it for today. I will be back tomorrow with more. Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance.